I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. And I saw your co-host, Spike Gaskin Jack, tweet something to this effect, and he is dead right, where it's this Phillies team is the all-time build you up. Coming right when everyone's like, World Series, they score in 2 out of 27 innings in Cincinnati. So funny. I'm good. Just a series in Cincy. I'm not. I'm more annoyed about Schwarber than I am about the losses.
Oh, nice.
But not at Schwarber, at Cincinnati.
Yes.
Regardless.
Little bit at Schwarber.
Smidge. Hard to blame the guy, but you know we'll get in.
Smidge.
We'll get into it. I'm not as annoyed as aforementioned co-host Mike Gaskin, but how you doing, pal? You all right? I was let's just say annoying series, especially after such a fun first game, down 1-0, the 4-run inning, fight back, a Kirkering getting in there.
We haven't seen Juwan Ryan in 3 days.
I know. It's Kirkering. I forgot. It's
unbelievable. I miss him so much.
How you doing?
So I'm gonna say something that is truly disgusting.
No.
Kind of just the baseball season. I know it's annoying, but like they've played well enough for a good stretch of time.
It's like
I feel it. I watch games. I feel the same way. Uh-huh. Sometimes, again, we do this podcast last night. I was ready to throw hands.
Which, by the way, Inside Baseball, Jack did want to do it last night. I had to go to bed, so we didn't, which is probably a good thing for the pod.
But at the same time, we do this whole thing where it's like, offense so hot and cold. They're so Jekyll and Hyde.
If they look like, there it is. That's the playoffs right there. That Cincinnati series, that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. Lock it in.
There's absolutely no scenario where they're just good in the playoffs. No, it's only when they're bad.
That's the series. Yeah.
So there are real concerns, and we'll get into it all. But overall, like, this is just baseball. I mean, the Dodgers are 12-21 in this stretch.
Great nugget.
They're second in the NL West.
And the Mets, as we know, the Mets had a 6-0 lead yesterday.
So I was watching it because
unanswered.
So it was a rare occurrence in our household last night. Both the boys were asleep by like 8.
Whoa.
So Walker didn't nap. So we put him to bed.
Whoa.
Sonny, you know, he's been an 8:30 guy.
It's good.
And
work
he's
by
tuckered
him.
Out. Mm-hmm. Not Tucker
Bagley'd out, yes.
But so Jill counting down the seconds to watch Taylor Swift on the Kelsey pod,
yes.
You know, so she was watching that. I was listening. I will say it was refreshing to hear how real she is. Taylor Swift.
I didn't listen.
I know.
Yeah.
But like, I don't blame. It's 7 o'clock at night. You had to go to bed. I understand that. just seems like just a real person.
It's shocking. She's a real person.
And it's always one of those things where it's like, that's the biggest star in the world. She's just pretty normal.
Yeah.
Like, she just seems like, she's a megastar. So she's not like totally normal.
Yeah.
But for that, she seems really normal.
So believe it or not, and Tucker can attest to this, our producer Tucker.
Yes.
Because it was on the Go Birds pod thread when we planned pods or whatever.
Elliot, and I know Elliot's all fired up. And I'm not trying to
Elliot thinks it's the greatest podcast in this world. Elliot.
That's not Elliot even, it was not that good.
Elliot said to me last night, I'm like, well, I'm probably not gonna listen. He's like, it's a shame. He's like, there's some amazing lessons of about life and love. And I'm like, Elliot, I was dating my wife when these kids weren't even in high school yet. I'm good. All right, Big Dog, thank you. I don't need Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce to give me life lessons on love, but thank you. Thank you.
People forget Taylor Swift, also. Game 3 of the 2008 World Series.
It's true. And I appreciate Jason Kelce calling that out. I did hear the open that he did where it's like, from Nashville, no, from Reading. Mm-hmm. Now that she's a Chiefs fan, I don't know if we really care, but,
right.
You know.
So. Right. Again,
that's the Taylor Swift portion of the podcast.
It was mostly a fine podcast. But there was times where she was like, oh, it was just like, you know,
normal human being.
Yeah, normal human being.
And I appreciate that.
And she just was talking about how she's talking to Kelce's daughters. And I was trying to imagine being Kelce's daughters.
Oh, dude, I know.
And just saying, hey, that's my good friend, Taylor.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's like my Zoe is at an age where she's getting into Taylor Swift, really likes a lot of her songs and all that.
Now, are you going old school first or are you letting her jump right in?
You think I know what is old school and what is not?
Man, love story.
Bro, I know no Taylor. I know like 5 Taylor Swift songs.
This is part of your bag that you're missing.
I know. I'm learning.
Folklore is an unbelievable album.
I need to get into it. I need to do the Taylor thing, which I will with Zoe and all. But it is funny because I'll say to her, I'm like, you know, I know Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother, right?
Yeah.
And she doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care.
I thought it would have some sort of like impact.
Not at all.
She's like, don't care.
Which is so funny.
You're not cool.
I remember Jill and her sisters saw Taylor Swift play at Westchester University.
Whoa!
Which is crazy.
That's like seeing the Beatles in like some pub in you know, London in 1960 or something, you know?
So this is a really bad poll because it's strictly tired dad brain Jack, and that's why we're not firing all cylinders right now.
That's fine.
But my dad saw the guy that sang Frankenstein.
Edgar Winter's group.
Edgar Winter. Yes.
It's
like 20 people on Glen Mills, this random place.
Really?
In Glen Mills.
He did the before guitar, they like, the whole thing. Like that's awesome. Up. That's so cool.
So
he looked awesome too. Edgar Winter's at the white Edgar Winter's band. Like things.
Again, one of these bands that just gets forgotten.
Totally,
as we get
totally
further
correct.
And further away.
Frankenstein's an awesome, awesome song.
So the Phils lost 2-3. No, but last night.
So good.
Thank you.
Really
so last night, you know, I was watching the Taylor Swift podcast, yes. But also had The Beginning on my
The Beginning. Is that what we're calling it?
The Beginning is revolutionary for MLB.tv.
Oh, you're watching. I got you. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the inning with the Grand Slam and all that.
They did allow 9 unanswered.
I thought it was The Beginning there.
No.
That's why I was confused.
Dude, and you know who?
So you're talking about the Mets game. I got you. Getting back. Both teams let up some runs yesterday.
They did. So, by The Beginning, I know people talk about Red Zone. You can talk about Scott Hansen all you want. My goats are Matt Yaloff and Greg Caserta.
So not surprising. So nuts.
Those are my goats. Yeah, those are my goats. So I love The Beginning. I really, when I'm not watching minor league baseball,
you're preaching to the choir. You know how much
I'm
gonna watch other games, man.
Yeah. See, I've been spoiled. By The Beginning.
You're young. Yeah. You know, it's this whole youth culture. You guys can't pay attention to something for a long time. You know,
I've got a
it's
lot
like
of
trying to get my daughter to watch movies. You know, I'm working at it.
I've got a lot of problems with my generation currently.
You should, yeah. Honestly. Pretty upsetting sometimes.
It is. So watching the Mets lose that game,
plus you should, Zoe is Generation Alpha, like you should be Generation Alpha, like you should be a part of just Alpha. I mean, that's
when you think of me,
how disappointed are you that you're not Generation Alpha?
Well,
you would say that to me, be like, oh yeah, I'm Generation Alpha.
Yeah,
you know what that means.
Yeah, the Alpha thing was probably 5 years ago.
You're done with it.
I'm over it. Like the biggest change for me since having kids,
I don't care.
Like,
dude, welcome aboard. Like, it's a really beautiful life thing, isn't it?
I've narrowed all of the important things in my life.
I'm so with you
to just about a couple things.
I
don't care.
I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
It's a really important life moment.
It's unbelievable. I think you
life's
have
better,
to do it.
Right? Life's
you
better.
Have to do it.
I know.
You have to do it. No, so it's funny. And again, we'll eventually talk about the Phillies.
Do we have to?
Yes.
What is there to say?
No, there's not.
DFA Jordan Romano. We did it.
Not so fast.
Oh, damn. All right, let's get
okay. Hold on. We'll get to that thought in 1 second.
People tuning out of the pod.
Not so fast. Signs. Anyway. So Walker,
I will say his reactions are pretty cool.
Dude, they're so funny. When he allows a bomb and he's just like,
just the hands on the knees. He's like, yeah. Like he looks like he just got shot. So good.
The poor NBC Sports. I mean, not like the NBC Sports Philadelphia crew. It's like they're zoning in on him. He didn't need that shot yesterday.
Right back there. He's like hunched over. And it does it for like 10 seconds. So he's just like there. It's like, oh, you're really feeling it, buddy.
when he allows a bomb, it's actually my, it's one of my favorite bits of this current team. Yeah. Yeah, it was mostly painless.
The game was over. We knew they were not scoring four runs to tie it at four. So who cares if it's eight?
You know who would have been nice at the deadline along with Harrison Bader? Miguel Andujar.
Dude,
he's a 2-time member. Maybe one of these years they gave me Bader as a little cop out and said, "Here's fine. There's Harrison Bader." Mm-hmm. Maybe Andujar one of these years.
Oh, yeah. He's been good.
Real quick, Walker Generation Alpha. Mm. Nice.
Yes, huge.
Sutty Generation Beta.
Oh no!
Born January 2nd. So I think
is that the cutoff?
I think January 1st, 2025.
Oh, man. Walker's gonna hold that over him forever.
Generation
What's
Alpha
up, Beta. Yeah. I mean, if I were Walker, I would just call him Beta.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. it could breed some good competitiveness. That's out of those true. Two.
I do believe better athletes come from having brothers and being the little brother and fighting. Totally, you know, yeah. So
it's amazing. I made it this far.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
But
poor Zoe, only child she's screwed to.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with being an only child. Right, yeah. Siblings are weird.
Best take of the pod.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So Shout out to Peter if you're listening. I love you, bro.
Yes. So it was an annoying series. They kind of just laid down the last two games.
They flat out laid down. At least, they definitely. Yesterday, it felt like they were like, "Let's get the hell out of Cincinnati." It was what it felt like to me.
It did, and they had the weird.
Because they have a game today, no day off. Just felt like they want to get the hell out.
Weird 20-minute rain delay the night before, a rain delay,
and then another one yesterday. It's like, what are this? It's like short rain delays just to like throw everything off.
I know.
It's annoying.
I know. So yeah, I don't
know what you do. You play through that, right? Like a man.
Exactly right. You toughen up.
Generation
Alpha, enough of these millennials, am I right? Millennials are getting older, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy. Tell me.
I'm the bottom end of a millennial.
Yeah, I'm at the top end. I'm the one who gets totally screwed because I'm like right on the line. It's like they say late 1981. I'm September of 81. So I'm like, am I a millennial? I grew up as Generation Y at first. And then they were like, oh, it doesn't exist anymore. We're just getting rid of it.
Like Pluto.
In and out, what? Same thing. So I am, I think I'm like a elder millennial or a in-betweener. I don't really know.
What's the one above you?
Gen X is above me. I grew up with a bunch of Gen X below me. Gen Z below you. Yeah. Gen Z is the one below you. They're the real problem with Gen Z. Yeah.
Out. So the
Gen Z stands for zero.
Right. The inability to score early in games is going to come back to bite them. It just is. They are. Thank you.
That was really smooth.
They were, I think, heading into the Stott hit in the fourth yesterday. Because I think that was the first hit of the game, of course, because they cannot hit.
They just get no hit for four innings there. Why not?
I mean, they had to be for their last like 32.
I mean, think about it. They scored in 2 of 27 innings. Yeah. They had the four-run inning and they had the Harper homer. That's it.
Yeah.
that is tough.
Well, and even going back to the Rangers series, didn't score until late in that.
You're right.
Didn't score until late on Saturday.
What is it? It's because it does feel recent, and they have been fighting back. And we've talked about that. We talked about last night. Like, love the
lot of credit for
love that. Like they don't seem out of games. They
rarely roll over.
They
rarely roll.
Which
over.
I really
besides yesterday.
Yes, I appreciate that. But what do you think it is? Like, because I don't think that's been like a hallmark of this. And we know the hallmarks with the chase and this and that and the stuff that we've seen in the past. But it's not like it's been like a can't get it going early type of thing before.
Yeah, well, because in the last couple of years, they've been very, very good in the first inning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is weird. It's a weird changeover.
So I think the top three are struggling, mostly. I mean, Schwarber's not really struggling.
Schwarber's not struggling.
Yeah,
but Turner and Harper have been struggling.
Turner and Harper.
Certainly comparative to where Harper was.
Yes. And like, I say this about Bryce. And like, there's no agenda because I love Bryce. But I was disappointed in some things that happened yesterday and some things recently. Like, Romano is getting crushed today. Okay. If Bryce isn't over-aggressive, he's out of that inning.
I know.
And he's done that a couple times where I think it's lack of just thinking the game, or like it's just kind of being checked out. And there's been times where I just feel like he's been more checked out recently. And as a as the star player, 300 million, we know all that stuff. Like you're the guy.
You're the guy that everyone looks to, whether you like it or not.
And it's one. And I feel like we have to do this three times a year with Bryce, and then he snaps out of it and he's fine. And I think like I'm not seeing a wrist thing happening, because I think we would know that,
because he can't help but let us know that he's like, oh, shaking out his wrist. Oh, that didn't feel like he's so clear. He wears it on his sleeve.
But it feels like against it feels like there's times where he just checks out, mostly against really, really good pitchers, where it feels like he's not going up there with the plan. And he's just swinging first pitch
and
for
some
no
of those
reason.
Like tough lefties, big time. Like it was like that at bat in the playoffs against the Mets last year. We've seen those type of bats where he almost goes up there and he's like, well, I'm not going to get a hit, so I'm just going to take a hack. And whether I hit it, don't down the plate, just didn't swing because I didn't think I could get to it. You know, it's weird.
And the other ones from him. The other ones is in these kind of big moments where it felt like Bryce always came through. I mean, 2023, we're talking about him as like the most clutch athlete ever seen here. Because he was. I mean, he had the Duvall home run, his 300th home run.
The numbers still are. I mean, his playoff numbers are still all-time great.
Yeah. Did strike out in game three.
He did.
But which Elliot lets us know all the time.
It was.
And it's, I just feel like we're getting a little bit too much of checked out Bryce, and also picking his spots where he wants to be locked in. It could be locked in against who pitched the ninth of the when he allowed the home when he hit the home run.
It's like
some scrub.
Yeah, it was a scrub. They were 6-0 at
some
the time.
Scrub. Yeah. But against Hunter Green yesterday, I felt like it was a lot
of they were horrible at bats against Hunter Green. I thought Hunter Green owned him yesterday.
And I just when Bryce is at its best, he's a tough, like a tough SOB at the plate. And I just it's been a lot more of flailing and the plate. I actually The was it Monday when he got thrown out of the plate? I didn't think that was dumb. I thought
No. That was just a great throw.
It was taking
it was a
shot.
Short fly ball. You got to take a shot. It was a one run game, and that's what I had no problem with him going for home. It was just a perfect throw.
Yeah,
it's a perfect throw.
There's other issues with the team, but that was one thing that I was sitting there yesterday when he just. I know they're down 8-0 in the ninth, but it was just a giveaway. It was a throwaway at bat. And there's just been a little too much of that for my liking, where it's a little bit too much checked outness from Bryce. Now, he did have the first hit in the game on Sunday.
The double.
Which was good. Like, there's been little.
Was, yeah, like double down the line yesterday or 2 days, whatever. It was yesterday.
Yeah, the first hit on Monday. And one of the first hits on Sunday with the double down the line. It's just, that's been good moments in a time where it's been a larger feeling of that for me with Bryce. So again, I feel like we should do this three times a year where we're like, you're the star, like lock in a little bit. But it currently feels like one of those times.
Yeah, it does. And I look, when the playoffs come around, I will trust Bryce Harper. When he's at the plate, I just 100%. Will. I just will. And he is, except for one at bat, literally, he has not given us reason not to. I'm with you. The other thing with Bryce, and we've talked about a lot throughout the season on the pod and just in general, but it does feel like he's still just all year, like more than ever, been just so dour and like down. It just seems like the guy never has fun playing baseball. Like, have you noticed that? It feels like more than normal. And look, I think it's weighing on him. Like, he's going to be 33 in October. We've talked to this a million times. No one on the planet cares more about their legacy, their place in the history of the game itself. And he knows better than anyone, without a World Series title, like, it's just not there. His resume, his legacy, like he is missing the thing.
It's the cherry on top.
It's the thing that he has to have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's weighing on him. I really do. Like just from a demeanor standpoint, from a way he's gone a bit about it. Like I have not, and I know I'm sure the wrist is part of it. He talked about early in the season. That's bothered him a lot. But I don't, at any point have you watched Bryce this year and really felt like he's having fun out there?
Well, so I can't tell. So I hear you and I do feel it. My one theory on it though is also, is this him trying to turn into the leader guy?
Like, I'm locked in. Like Jalen. Like he's Jalen out there.
Sure. He's like Jalen out
there. There you go. Good. I like that.
Exactly what
stoic,
I was.
Stoic, locked
thank
in.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, yes,
the epitome of that.
Yeah. Another tough practice yesterday. But
training camp.
Yeah, I know.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't tell my other podcast partner. But
no, but
couldn't care less about training camp stats. No. Sorry, pal.
Training camp stats are great.
They're great. And I love them. And I think it's awesome what he's done. me personally, I don't put much stock.
Which do you care more about, training camp stats or spring training?
So I'm happy
stats.
You asked me that. Training. I think spring training stats are literally useless, as you know. I think training camp. So the stats, the Jalen stuff doesn't do anything for me. The like position back, like it's the same type of thing. And very similar. It's not. I think training camp, like it's honestly really neither. They both mean nothing to me. Honestly, they both mean.
Who likes the individual more? Me with spring training or Elliot with training camp?
Oh, it's you know it's Elliot.
It's probably Elliot.
I mean Elliot.
I do get tired of spring training.
And Elliot goes way overboard. Elliot literally. Says that he prefers training camp to the season, to the games. Like that's, I almost cursed. That's bleeping stupid is what I was going to say. Like I almost said that's effing stupid came right. Like that's what I naturally want. Like that's so you like you're covering the team and you think training camp is more fun than the reason they're doing training camp. So like crazy town.
Now, contradictory point.
Sure. Contrarian.
Definitely using the wrong terms, but again, we're battling. We're battling. What if the prospects get in a game late in spring training and they do some things on like a
look,
TV
let me put
camera.
It this way. I would much more exciting than seeing like the third and fourth stringers play. Like,
don't
who
care.
Cares?
About
like, who besides, cares?
Besides Darius Cooper.
Love Darius Cooper. Oh, very he doesn't Darius count Cooper. As a third or fourth stringer. He's a starter.
Better man. Than Dotson. So yeah, I can't tell with it. Is it Bryce trying to be like, I'm the leader?
It's back in. You are
no one better.
Freaking fired.
Thank you. So I can't tell if it's like, I'm the leader guy or if he's just, and I've thrown this theory out there. He just loves being a dad. And I understand it. I understand it.
I agree. It's, it's you're saying he just never wants to be away from his kids. Like when he's playing, he's just like, I just want to get home to my kids. Yeah. I get it, buddy.
Again,
I get it.
This is the team full of dad guys.
We do. It is
they got
dad
so many kids. This team has so many kids.
I know, and they keep coming. And it's like every other day. It's like, oh, Brian's not had another kid. Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's
this Stoddy has two.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy. So Cassie has three now. Anyway.
I know.
Wheeler has four. Yeah. Anyway.
Bryce has three now.
With four coming.
There's a fourth on the way?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, she's pregnant. Yeah. Wow. Dude, this parade could be just win the World Series. So then go be dads.
That's right. And then it's all good. It's good. And then in 20 years, 10 years, you bring your kids to the ceremonies on. It's gonna be amazing. We'll be like, oh, look how big Liam is. Oh. He's playing for the AA team now.
Yeah. Hopefully it's better play discipline. Hopefully.
Can I do my Nick thing?
Yes, you can do your Cassianos thing. That's my Bryce thing. And again, I don't say with any agenda because I love Bryce. I'm just I'm a little annoyed currently with old MV3.
Yeah, I get it. Speaking of annoyed, I'm annoyed with Nick Cassianos. We have not, and it's a bit of a disservice by us and just in general. I do not think we have made a big enough deal about how bad he has been. For a while now, we're talking about a month of disastrous play from Nick Cassianos. His numbers since the All-Star break, Jack, and I know you heard me say on the morning show, and even you texted me, you're like, "Why? I didn't realize they were that bad." Mm-hmm. Since the All-Star break, Nick Cassianos is batting. Here is his slash line. You ready for his second half slash line? 195 batting average. Pretty good. A 224 on base percentage. And a 317 slugging percentage. He has a 541 OPS since the All-Star break. Even worse, just in the month of August, he's 179, 256, 436 as an OPS. Sorry, 179 OBP, 179 batting average, 179 OBP. Yes, he has not walked in the month of August. No. Why would he? In his last 30 games, he's struck out 31 times and walked 3 times. I mean, he has been an absolute train wreck offensively, uh-huh. And we already know he is... However, grading system you want to look at,
there's no grading system.
One of the worst
errors.
Right fielders alive. Like he is one of the worst right fielders, one of the worst outfielders in the sport right now.
And he reached -1 overall on the year in WAR.
Dude, he's one of the 9 worst players in baseball according to WAR. Yeah. According to WAR, of people who have played enough innings to qualify, he is considered he's one of 9 players with negative WAR. He's one of the worst in the sport this year. Yeah. We gotta start talking about this. Nick's been horrible, man.
Let's put it this way. He's been so bad that sound you hear outside CBP, Kepler.
Dude, that's what I was about to say. Jack, he's been so bad. I honestly think it might be time to start Kepler in right field. We know he's good. A light years better defensive player. I mean, I Kepler's a good right fielder defensively. Very good. Like, really solid.
Although, man, make the freaking play in the Ranger.
I know. But he is a much better defensive fielder than Cassie. And, like, honestly, he's been hitting the ball better the last month. Like, I don't, like, they're not going to do it. I know Topper doesn't have the stones quite to say, all right, Nick, you're benched. Dude,
they seem so afraid of Cassie.
They're terrified. Again, I know he sat him the other day. Like, he is. Since that whole thing in Miami where he has not taken him out of a game defensively late again. Are you kidding me, dude? Are you to do that whole thing in Miami to put it out there and defensive replacement, which every fan on the planet knows that in a playoff game, in a late playoff game, that you want Nick Castellanos off the field defensively in a late playoff game. Like, I don't think he's going to have the stones to do it. Do you?
Now, again, maybe he's planting seeds. And maybe then the next month and a half, we'll get a better feel of it heading into the postseason.
More and more.
I mean, if I had to bet right now, I would say no. I mean, Monday was a perfect opportunity to do it. He just hit. It was a 3-run lead.
4-1 game.
It was the right time. Also, if you want to go back to that moment, he's hitting 222
exactly
with a 650 OPS. So,
keep killing it.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. So, again, I want Castellanos to help the team in a World Series. I'm counting down the days until he's not a Philly.
He's
excruciating. He's absolutely excruciating. It's horrible at bats at the plate, no plate discipline anymore, not doing jobs. Like, he can pop a home run once in a blue moon, but I don't care. Like, he's just been a bad replacement level baseball player since he's gotten here. He's not a very good baseball player. It's pretty much as simple as that. And Kepler, maybe, like, do if they want to do platoons at every single position in the outfield,
you know,
I don't know. Could Crawford? I mean, tomorrow is the day, maybe August 15th, where you can maintain rookie status for the following year. So, like, do they want to bring him up and play him?
I mean, they could do it, would be funny. They don't have they'd have to have one lefty in line, but they could pretty much do all left versus righties and almost all right versus lefties.
Yeah, if they wanted to get crazy, they could
put Kemp. Yeah, they could. I guess they could put Bader in center and Kemp. So they could do an outfield of all left-handed hitters versus righties and all right-handed hitters versus lefties if they wanted to. Yeah. They could do Kemp, Bader, Cassiano.
Well, Wilson's probably going to stay.
Or Wilson, whatever. The point is you could put one of those guys in left, center, right, and then the same thing with, you could put Marsh in center, and you got Kepler in right. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Or they could DFA Kepler, put Marsh in right field with Castellanos, bring up Crawford. He plays left, and Bader plays center field.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's still in the middle of the lineup. They're going to go into the postseason again with maybe even Real Muto heading behind him, which is great. Real Muto's been fine. Clean up behind Bryce.
Oh, I think Real Muto is the, I mean, him or Bohm. I mean, you know, it's going to be him or Bohm. Yeah. We're back.
And then Cassie was batting fifth yesterday.
We had a caller suggest this today.
Is it Rick and Easton?
It might have been.
He's calling yesterday, ranting about how they won't win a World Series without Schwarber behind Bryce.
That's what I was going to ask you. And I don't think they have to, but do you think it's because Bryce wants to hit three and he's just like, I'm hitting three guys and that's it? Because I do think it looked good earlier in the year when they did the Turner, Harper, Schwarber thing. Like, I liked that.
I know.
I liked it a lot.
I'm well aware.
Like, I think it's a better lineup. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's a way they could. I guess you do want Schwarber having more at bats in a game. So that makes sense.
Of course.
But if they got it's a Stott problem. I mean, if Stott
with the nine they were getting on base, yeah.
Well, no, I'm just talking about like when Stott was leadoff, it was nice how lengthened the lineup was. Yeah. I mean, maybe
if you're saying Stott's a nine hitter now, that's how far he's gone.
Well, people forget that he was the leadoff hitter for about a month and
they
a half.
Really do.
And there was
a lot of
victory laps earlier.
There weren't there. Yeah, I remember that.
But man, I'm not even proud of myself for saying this, but. They could Real Muto or Bohm hit two? And
I mean, look, we've always talked about Bohm as a two hitter, right? Like, haven't we always said that because the guy just sadly has never developed any power despite being a giant, you know,
what's the bat on
the
baseball?
Weakest 6'5" hitter of all time. But we've always thought that because the type of hitter he is. I mean, he makes sense to minus no speed. Like, he's going to put the bat on the ball.
But Schwarber's in batting
too. He can directionally hit. Like, he can move guys over. Like, he could do all those classic two hitter things other than run, you know?
Now, the amount of double plays he could hit into.
Oh, it would be epic.
After a leadoff like Turner hit.
yes. That's the fly in the ointment.
It is. Because I really, If Bryce is not going to hit two, which I don't think he's going to hit two.
I don't think he's going to.
I would
ding Bryce for that.
Again, we don't know that.
Right. But let's just say in a world where we knew that Bryce said, I want to hit three, put me three.
I would be disappointed.
I would too. All right. I just want to get that out there. All right. Good.
But getting Schwarber behind Harper is still imperative to me. It's still imperative.
I totally agree. I think it's the most. That's why when.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Rick Broad was like, yeah, you're right. I'm assuming it was Rick who brought it up on your show too. But I think he's right.
I said to him yesterday, I was like, I totally agree. Who's batting two?
That's the problem.
That's the issue problem with the lineup is that.
Again, Bryce, if he would, you know. I know. But then you're still, look, the length of the lineup is going to be an issue one way or the other. All right, one more thing I want to get to before we get to the take bag. And it's not DFAing Jordan Romano, which I'm sure you're going to get to in your table. I'm going to start calling him Romano again, by the way. He's learned Romano. He's lost Romano privileges.
He was pitching well before that.
Right? I called him Jordan Romano the entire time I knew him. I didn't know his name was Romano. And you know what? He was nasty. All right. Last thing, and then we get to take bag and you can get to your little Romano.
If Harper just covers the bag normally, he's out of the inning.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And we're calling Jordan Romano a hero today.
Grand slam. Yeah, hero. Real quick, just for that, the Jeff Kerr tweeted out his ERA by month.
Ooh.
Jordan Romano, March, April, 12.48. May, he was apparently good in May, 2.53.
Of course he was.
Jack, 7.27 in June, a robust 5.19 in July, and so far in August, a 16.36 ERA. He might have 2 months with a double-digit ERA. I don't know.
I don't know many teams. Do you know many teams many teams with World Series aspirations?
I don't think his 7.24 ERA on the season is going to be getting him much offers.
Might be the third.
When Jack does that little like smirk laugh thing before he's like, you know where this is going. Go ahead. Yeah.
This might be the second most disgusting thing I've said on this podcast, but I got to make sure I get the number right when we're talking about how could a World Series team. Aspirations of a team to win the World Series. How could they carry a guy with a 7 ERA heading into the postseason? Do you want to know who in 2009 had a 7.21 ERA for the Phillies?
Is it Brad Lidge?
It's Brad.
Yeah, Lidge. I had a feeling. Yep. Yeah. He was horrible. It's hilarious, though. What are the odds of that?
Would hate to compare.
You did make some Lidge comparisons.
Would hate to compare Jordan Romano to Brad Lidge.
Would never.
And that's actually. Again, not that I would never. I don't want to disparage the greatness of Brad Lidge. Thank you for it. Wait.
Yes.
Just letting everyone know.
But 09 Lidge.
Just letting everyone know.
That kind of count.
Philly's elitist Jack is bringing up 09 Lidge.
All right. Last question before the take bag. And I feel like we've talked about a lot. You know, we keep bringing it up, though. But, I mean, every start closer to the playoffs is another start I'm more concerned about Ranger Suarez. Where are we at with the Ranger thing? And honestly, as it gets closer and closer, I'm starting to think that, like, Ranger's probably going to be the bullpen for the playoffs.
Right? Yeah, I think he's going to the bullpen.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just because there is the upside of Lizardo starting.
Sure.
So like if he's your game four starter, right?
And look, as we've seen.
Nola starting game three. I want you to just
lock it in. Like Nola, 11 strikeouts, by the way, and Leah. I looked really good. I will say though, real quick, for those who haven't seen it, it was on Twitter, so you might have. But if the Phillies can get a bye, they will not need a four starter till the championship round, till the NLCS. So they could really do it without it. So.
And they could try both.
Yeah.
They could try both.
They could piggyback. They could do a, you know, one starts, other follows, whatever type thing. But I think with the Ranger thing, we've talked about all year, the he's the one who knows how to do it. He's the one who's done it before. He's shown that he can pitch multiple days, you know, 2 out of 3 days or whatever that stuff is. He's got that kind of rubber arm. The big moment's not going to be too much for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just always made the most sense. And since we're past the contract part of it, by the time we get to the playoffs, like I think in some ways it could even be a good contract thing for him where it's like, oh, look, Ranger, what a team guy, you know? So,
well, I certainly don't think starting something is.
Every start is costing himself. I remember when people were like, he's going to get $100 million. No, he ain't. You might not get 50.
He reeks of getting the Eflin.
I know. I think 40 to 50 million, somewhere in that range is what it's. And look, he's got Boris, so maybe it gets up to 60 because Boris does some amazing stuff. But it's definitely not going to be 100. Ranger, like, are you concerned about Ranger? Or is it just kind of this? I think we just know what Ranger is. He's going to be awesome the first half and struggle in the second half and hopefully step up in the playoffs.
I mean, he's like, what, 13 starts in the second half of the last 2 years, and he's a 6 ERA?
Yeah.
So
6.59 this year in the second, last six starts or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the thing that's happening to him now is that he looks frustrated, which I'm not used to.
Which was shocking, especially that last start. He was getting in with the ump, the whole thing.
Walked down the mound and was laying out the mound to the umpire.
When do we see that?
I know.
It was so, like, Mr. Cool, Calm, Collected.
Now he did get screwed, and Kepler should have caught the ball.
Yeah, agree. He was right. But still,
he was cruising too, which was the shame. I just feels like the Ranger breakdown of the second half. I don't know what
it's like the opposite of the Ryan Howard thing.
Yeah, I don't have some inventive take on Ranger. I just, this is who he is. I love Ranger. He's been a great Philly. I think he's going to be gone at the end of the year. And there's been highs. There's been unbelievable highs. He's been great in the postseason.
I would say the highs are higher than the lows.
The thing is, do they keep running him out there, or do they try to IL?
Start to, and do they, and the question too is, if you are going to move him to the bullpen, at what point do you make that change? Like, at what point do you start to stretch him? You don't think it's as big a deal for him because he's done it?
I don't think they would do that until the end of the year. I don't think they would do that.
How much time do you need for that? Because we know, like, stretching out is a different thing. To be able to go longer and longer is a harder thing. How hard is it to stretch down? We never really talk about that.
Well, you have to get used to, the biggest one is pitching back-to-back days.
It's pitching back-to-back days, and also the ramp up, right? Like the being ready to come out of the bullpen, and that, where it's pitchers normally have the whole day and they can do their routine and all that. Whereas like, hey, you've got 10 minutes to get ready. Or it's a different thing, right?
Yeah. And Nola's coming back, so they're in a good spot where if they did want a phantom IL. The problem is, like, I almost think they need a couple phantom ILs.
Wheeler
could use a phantom IL, maybe. Ranger, maybe. Yeah. Strom, maybe.
I would say definitely for Strom.
I think it's a no-brainer.
It's of all of those ones, it's the one that makes the most sense. I mean, Wheeler too, but like Strom, it's like, why wouldn't you? He's put so many innings on his arms the last few years, and he's so important to the roster. And you just made the point, like, they got a dude who can take that role till the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. So that needs to happen.
I think that has to happen.
That needs to happen. And I mean, Taiwan's pitched well enough to stay in.
Bro. Thank you.
2.98 ERA.
We haven't talked since that. What? Shout out to that guy, man. Seriously, like, we all couldn't stand him a year ago at this time. And, you know, he put his ego in check. He, you know, he's done what they've asked him. He's pitched out of the pen. He's come back to rotation. He's moved around. And, like, to your point, he's got a 2.98 ERA in his starts this year.
Back to rotation.
Like, he has been, in the times he has been the fifth starter for the teams, like, he has been one of the best fifth starters in baseball for this team when he's starting, like, literally by the numbers. Like, that is credit to that. And look, lots of money. You know, I'm not saying, like, as a whole, you know, disappointment and all that. I'm not saying, like, yay, Taiwan, you earned your money finally. But I do think for where he was a year ago to now, like, I'm really psyched. Like, that is, it's nice to see.
And increasing that trade value.
Can I just say something, honestly? I know there was a couple moments.
$18 million off the books.
I went right past that.
Thank you.
I will say, because I think that we missed it, because right after it happened, there were some struggles. But I really do think you can look back to Taiwanimus as a turning point.
Yeah.
You know?
One of us proudly drafted him in our fantasy draft on this podcast before the year.
Yeah, you're right.
And thank God we didn't.
With the very last pick of the draft.
No one drafted Johan Rojas.
Yeah, we nailed that.
And he got sent down. So we win. And the only guy I didn't want was Tanner Banks.
Yeah. Remember how upset I got about your Andrew Painter chicanery? And it turns out I should just let you have him.
Should have let me have him. Should have let me have him.
All right, let's get the thing back.
So the city of Cincinnati should be ashamed. A proud city, you know, and one that.
Such an embarrassment.
Yep. And I know they have a great quarterback who truly plays a position at a high level. I know they have.
I don't like what you're doing.
They have.
I don't know what's happening.
They have okay chili. Is it really just things over spaghetti or something?
Overrated talk show host from there. You know,
right.
Just kidding. Ike, you're the best.
Never.
Total joke. You're the
never.
Best.
No. He's the face of Cincinnati.
Ike is the freaking man, is what he is.
But the absolute Mickey Mouse minor league operation that they
Bush
have.
League is Bush what I league, called it.
All three of them. With it, and I do think Schwarber's also not totally. I would say like 90% annoyance at the Reds.
10% on Schwarber. 10% so because like Schwarber. Spike Eskin was what, like 95% at Schwarber. Like he was mad at Schwarber. Like
I know
he said some pretty hurtful things.
Just hurtful things. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's our guy, man.
That is our guy.
So I am.
The Reds put him in a tough situation.
That's his dad. My, it's like how my that's what like it's, so we, inside baseball and our baseball guys, right? Elliot Chirpark's ripping Schwarber too. He's with Spike. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, you have an opportunity to go on a Major League Baseball field and essentially have a catch with your dad. I'm going to take that moment away from someone, that magical moment. Like, you're a dad. I'm a dad. Like,
I know.
I get it. And I understand that Schwarber could have been like, nah, that's kind of inappropriate, guys. Time. And he probably should have. I get it. But like, it's more like 97-3 for me in terms of blame. Just like, and, man, what a cool thing for Kyle. I can't rip him for that. You know, what if his dad was so excited and all that?
I know. But also, I've never seen it before.
No, I haven't either. And you made the point, if the Phillies did it initially, we would be like, dude, like, that is so lame, guys. Now, though, I think if the Phillies do it now, it's awesome because it's a petty, like, oh, we see you, Cincinnati. We got Kyle Schwarber's dad, too. Maybe let's bring his mom out, too.
Yeah, have a whole
family. Let's have a whole family of Schwarbers thrown out of first pitch. Like, that's what I would do now. I would take it to the next level with it.
Sure. I just... Yeah, it's really also the comments of like, I don't know, there's a way to talk about it where it's just like, I'm focused on winning a World Series and obviously I have a lot of love for Cincinnati. It's my home. But he basically was like, yeah, if it doesn't work out, like, I could come back here 100%.
But like, you know, the man is trying to make as much money as possible.
And I understand that.
I can't blame him for that. Like, his agent was like, bro, do not commit one way or the other. Whatever you say, you have to be dead in the middle, man. And he did that. You know, I can't blame when it comes to finances and these guys. And you know, I've talked about, like, I mean, think about having a 10 to 15 generally, and for a lot of people even less, window to do the thing that you're best at in life. You'll never be close to as good at anything, most likely close to as good at anything else as you are at that thing. You are the one of the 0.00001% of people to do that thing. And you have, like, you can only do it for a small portion of your lifetime. Like, I will never begrudge these guys for getting as much money as they can, for maximizing that time in any way they can. So, like,
I get it. And that's why the Reds should be embarrassed too. Like, the Phillies have played there for 3 straight years, whole Schwarber contract.
Like, you very much.
You could have done it another time. It's, we get just, what you're doing.
It looks so, it's so transparent. Like, there's no, it's very like, all right, guys.
And just to clear the air, they didn't really give him the keys to the city. That was a joke.
That was a joke. Don't
they get picked up as serious?
No way.
Oh yeah, a Reds blog wrote about how they gave him the keys to the city.
They don't know Jack.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Knowing you as long as I saw that tweet and immediately knew it was a joke.
Yeah. No, sure. I got picked up in Cincinnati and all that good stuff. That's so great. He did not really get the keys to the city. Yeah. Wouldn't that be clear?
Yeah.
But
they're gonna do that tonight. Yeah, as he leaves on the way to the plane.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't name the field after him yesterday. So
Great American Kyle Schwarber Ballpark. Welcome.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse by the Reds organization. And other non-Phillies things in the take back.
Ooh.
The Pete Alonso writing on the ball.
Oh, I'm sorry you brought this up.
Down goes Straw.
What a loser.
If it was him, I don't know if it was him.
I don't care.
It was probably him.
I doubt it was him. Honestly, it was probably some PR person for the Mets. But even still, like, he should have looked at him and like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's Daryl Strawberry.
I'm ripping Daryl Strawberry here now. Like, this is what we're doing. I'm like crapping on Daryl Strawberry. Oh, I beat you, Straw.
For 254 home runs.
Yeah, for an embarrassing number to be a franchise leader. I know they've only been around since 69, but it's an embarrassment that is the most. But 62. Like, exactly. Like, Daryl, you're right. 62, they won in 69. Thank you. Correct. Good point. No, you're right. You're right. I was thinking of the Amazing Mets.
Come on, man. Richie Ashburn was on the 69.
You're right. Yeah. And the 69. Wasn't he? Was he still there? No. He didn't win.
No. I mean, he quipped about
Tug McGraw was there for that.
Yes, though. He was.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan was there.
Yes, he was. Should we just name people? Yeah, Tommy Agee. You remember Tommy Agee?
Was Crane Pool on the 69 Mets?
I don't think so. Okay. I think Rusty Staub was, though.
Was
Le Grand Orange.
Was.
I think he was.
Was Casey Stengel the manager?
Well, Tom Seaver. Obviously. Casey Stengel. You know? Yep.
Good amazing Mets.
Tom Seaver, obviously. Yeah.
But
he was a dude.
The Alonso thing.
Yes.
Just so embarrassing. And
it really is. Writing down Go Straws, like, honestly, like a beyond embarrassment. Like, it, what a loser move.
And the call is so bad. The polar bear alone on his iceberg or something.
Was that the call?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's, I think Gary Cohen is phenomenal.
It's Gary Cohen. They're both good. The TV and they're both great. That they do call a really good job.
Very corny.
Embarrassing.
Very corny. So, it's
so straw.
It's so on brand for that first baseman. So on brand.
Total loser. Yeah, guess what, buddy? Mets fans will never love you as much as they love Darryl Strawberry. Sorry.
They were ready to let him go last year. Yeah, I mean, I don't really, Ranger. We talked about Ranger. Mm-hmm. Talked about Wheeler.
Light bag today.
Yeah, talked about.
It's okay.
Chris Sanchez was fine yesterday.
Fine.
Always.
Defense didn't help him out much.
Didn't help him out.
I mean, that was a rough, the Marte just play. Whenever a guy hits a single and scores, you don't love to see that.
Yeah. It was a Little League home run.
It was. Exactly.
In a Little League play. So, mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I guess we'll see if Crawford comes up. I don't know.
It'd be fascinating. It'd be fun. Look, we've talked about it, but they don't expand the rosters much in September, but it is
only two.
Two, but that is a way you could bring them up and not have to send someone down, not have to make any roster moves, whatever. So who knows what they decide to do. Mm-hmm. But that is interesting. You mentioned before. So you think as of right now, Wes Wilson, the leading candidate for that last bench.
Yeah, I don't. You can't keep
Otto's been, I know, it's a shame, but I agree. And Wes has played in the playoffs before and stuff like that. And look, Wes Wilson, he hits lefties.
He's got some big hits.
Of last couple games, been bringing it.
Won the game Monday and Sunday. So, and then quickly, some ring the bell things.
Ringthebellbook.com. Look, you can get it on Amazon, but it's way better if you
way
get it.
Better.
Just get it on ringthebellbook.com. That's why the website's there.
Don't worry.
Type in Amazon. No one likes Amazon. What do you, Jeff Bezos money? Why? What does he need more money for? Right?
Just because it's...
Isn't $300 billion enough for a man? Whatever his number is now.
Just because it's $6 cheaper and free shipping on Amazon right now does not mean you should order it on Amazon.
But that's the thing. That $6 and free shipping, whatever that is, that goes to Bezos. You're just saving Bezos money.
We're a mom and pop organization.
That's right.
At ringthebellbook.com.
You care about supporting
and great customer service.
It's true.
Great customer service.
That's true.
That's through the roof. So Saturday at a Barnes & Noble on Exton.
No, we got a book signing.
Yeah.
We got a book signing
at Barnes & Noble.
Just you or you got like a...
Me and Kevin.
You and Kevin. No, I meant like just your book though. So sometimes will get together and be like... Yeah. You know, with like get you in.
Well, I think me and the camera are doing one.
Yeah, well, that has to. I mean, that's a must.
Yeah,
you know.
So that's a, and then so we're doing Barnes and Noble during the day.
Okay,
1 o'clock.
So
I believe.
Saturday, Exton. What time? 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
The Barnes and Noble and Exton.
Right after that, we're going to Phoenixville.
Look at you,
Fitzwater Station. So I'll see Tucker there, I'm sure.
Yeah, look at you.
And so we'll be signing books and hanging out.
Oh,
all while finishing our move, which Jill had to inform her. That I got two book signings on Saturday.
Oh, she was probably psyched about that.
Not around. Not around.
Sorry, honey.
As we're moving our entire
going out to support the fans.
Just trying to sell some books.
That's right.
We're just pushing books all the time. Good so a lot of pop. I will
Jack
say
Jack feed his family is what we're saying.
And
right?
Kevin feed his family.
Yeah. And Kevin, shout out to Kevin Reed. Kevin, great guy. He had a lot of fun at the Hall of Fame, Kevin. Great.
Also
guy.
Has to feed his family.
Yes.
So we're feeding both of all of our kids water sandwiches.
Yes, water sandwiches. Yes.
And
only my daughter would eat a water sandwich. A
lot of good reviews in the book so far. I think people went into a very low expectation.
I think that's what it was. People expecting the worst, pleasantly surprised. This isn't horrible.
Story of Jack's life.
I know, right? That's what you do.
Lower expectations so you can sometimes jump them. But also if you don't, what'd you expect?
Like, who cares? No big deal.
It's
just
a tennis match.
I told you. The best. All right, we'll be back after the weekend. That's a 4-game series, 3 or 4. Can we say?
So I got to be honest, feels splitsy to me.
splitsy.
Well, because they've been on the road for so long,
they have. It definitely feels very much like a you know they're not going to get up for the Nats too.
And the Nats have been horrible.
Oh, yeah, you're so right.
No more Finnegan though, which is going to be shocking.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
And I can't call like Brandon Finnegan or Kyle Finnegan.
Get it right.
Still don't know. Yeah. I'm still not sure.
Kyle.
Kyle.
That's okay.
It's Kyle.
Good. All right. So we'll be back after the weekend. 3 of 4. Maybe Splitsville. I want 3. I'm going 3. I believe in this team, Jack.
Well, if they do go 3 of 4, they'll win the first 3 and lose on Sunday.
Oh, lock city of all the locks. So, you know, we can look forward to that. All right. Either way, we'll be back with you on Sunday. Until then, he's Fritz himself.